Man, how Sandy and I miss you guys. And actually, we miss you so much that I wrote a song. And you guys know how occasionally I like to bust a move, you know what I mean? And I promise I'm going to sing one line to express how much we miss you, okay? You ready? LA's fine. No, wait, sorry. LA's fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it's not mine no more. You think I could be a singer? New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. I am, I said. So we miss you. We miss you. New York is home. And if I could only find a singer to record this song, maybe I'll get lucky and I'll find a diamond in the rough. What do you say? Huh? Wow. Now, if you're visiting today, I'm sure you're thinking, this guy is crazy. No. Homesick. So what a blessing for Sandy and I to be here. 7 months since we said goodbye for now to Calvary and to New York City. Gotham, the Big Apple, the city that never, ever sleeps. In our farewell message last December, we asked, how can we, Sandy and I, say thanks to you? And so this time, how can we stay connected? Not just Sandy and I to you and you to us, but you all to each other when that moment comes when we're no longer physically present with each other. How can we stay connected? Of course, we have the occasional visit, right? And we have the cards and the letters. And of course, we have Facebook and emails, texts, cell phones. We have all of that. But the Apostle Paul, he was also homesick. He was homesick for his Philippian brothers and sisters. Paul was in a Roman prison, and he wrote the one letter to the Philippians. You can turn to Philippians 1. He also had made two visits to them. In the first visit, the church was established, and then the second visit was to come back and check on them and see how they were doing. But in a Roman prison, there'll be no more visits, right? But there would be some profound ways that the apostle would stay connected to them in Philippians chapter 1. And I want to share that with you because it will also encourage us and teach us how we can, in a profound way, stay connected to each other when we're no longer physically present. Amen? So let me read from Philippians 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to share that from this passage, they stayed connected through their memories. Their memories. And these memories are unique to brothers and sisters in Christ. Unique. Notice chapter 1, verse 1. This is for the saints. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, to all the saints, the congregation in Christ Jesus who are what? At Philippi with the overseers, that is the deacons and the elders. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God, the peace of God. You see how this is all for the saints, amen? to share together. It's uniquely for us. And then he begins in verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I thank my God, every remembrance of you. It's powerful. Thanksgiving for all the memories. We have that Thanksgiving for our memories of you, big time. We have Thanksgiving for all the memories, good ones and bad ones, but mostly the good ones. Amen? Paul stayed connected to the Philippians through these memories. You may remember that when Paul was led by God to establish the church in Philippi, some of the memories were profound. Remember, he had the memory of the Macedonian vision and the Macedonian call when he and Silas were ministering in ancient Turkey. And remember, the man appeared to Paul in a vision, and he said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Remember? That's quite a memory. And then they came to Philippi, and in Philippi, they had the memory of Lydia and her family coming to know Christ right away. The first conversions in that ministry. And then after that amazing memory, that amazing act of grace, they encountered the woman, the fortune teller, who was possessed by a demon. And in the spiritual warfare, Paul exorcised the demon. And then the men who handled her and sold her, you might say, out there to make them money through her fortune telling, they upset that Paul and Silas had taken their money away, basically, because she was no longer able to do that because she didn't have the demon anymore. They had a crowd beat them half to death and then have them unjustly imprisoned. And once imprisoned, God broke through with a miracle, and their chains were released through this earthquake, right? And the Philippian jailer was stunned and fearful, and he cried out to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, and every one of your household that does that as well. And they became believers. They trusted Christ, and they were baptized that very night. And then the magistrates who had imprisoned them illegally finally said, you can go now. And Paul and Silas said, no, we're Roman citizens. We are uncondemned. You falsely imprisoned us. You come yourself and see us out. Now, I would say that's some memories there. Would you agree? Some real memories, and of course, sometimes the most profound way of all that we stay connected is through our memories. Our daughter in love, Rochelle, and our beautiful granddaughters, Kyler and Zoe and Ryland and Lainey, they posted a while back on Facebook, remembering our son Josh, their dad and their husband. And Rochelle said, today would have been our 21st wedding anniversary. This is not the way I imagined life would go. But God, so grateful for memories. And our little granddaughter said to Josh, happy Father's Day. We miss you more and more every day, but are so glad we had all the memories we did. Love you, Dad. Precious memories connect us, amen? I don't know if you saw the film, A Star is Born. It's quite a film. And Lady Gaga sings a heart-rending song with this chorus. When the sun goes down, and the band won't play, I'll always remember us this way. Amen. Recently, Sandy and I were ministering in Naples, Florida, on the west coast of Florida. And we had a reunion with Hal and Gloria Orr. How many remember Hal and Gloria? A number of you? A wonderful couple, and Hal served on our deacon board for many years, faithfully. We also connected with Jerry and Vincent Price. That goes back a little farther, but a number of you know Jerry and Vincent, just a great couple. And Vincent served on our deacon board as well for a number of years. We also connected with Michael Luciano's mom and dad, because they live in Naples also. And we connected with Terry Williams, who was our interim music director with me in my last months here. And we would have connected with Earlene, his wife, too, but their son was in the hospital, and she was there with him. But we reconnected with all these folks, and it was really cool. Really cool. And you know what we did when we reconnected? We ate. And we laughed. And we prayed. And we remembered. We remembered you guys. We remembered Calvary. We talked about you and us at Calvary. And we stayed connected. That's what memories do. That's what Paul did with the Philippians. That's what Sandy and I do with you. You do with one another, amen? The memories are precious. And they also stayed connected through the prayers. Back to Philippians 1. Do you see that in verse 4? Always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy. Just as they said, our memories are filled with thanksgiving. Our prayers are filled with joy. The joy of prayer for one another, amen? Every prayer of you with joy. Glory to God. I want you to turn back to Acts 16 now, where we actually went through the memories of Paul when he established the church in Philippi. But I want you to see how prayer was so central to what they did and how the joy of the Lord was expressed in that prayer. Look at Acts 16, and let's look at verse 11. See how prayer connected with Lydia's salvation. 16, verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we were outside the gate. We went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. She was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. I love how that place of prayer was central to the salvation of Lydia, to the salvation of her household. Amen. Paul would remember that place of prayer with joy and the conversions that followed that prayer time. Now notice immediately, the prayer is necessary to wage spiritual warfare. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. She was actually telling the truth. These men are proclaiming you the gospel, the way of salvation. This demon was proclaiming the gospel, but Paul rebuked her and the demon, exorcised it, because he did not want her identified with his gospel ministry. He did not want them to think that she was with them proclaiming the gospel, so they leave, and now she's the only one in authority. So he exorcised the demon. And it was a place of prayer, both for the conversion of people and for the waging of spiritual warfare. And notice Philippians 16, verse 25, a little bit more about the Philippian jailer. Notice this. Notice the context. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword. He was going to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. He's going to take his own life because under Roman law, if you as a guard lose your prisoner, you're executed. So he was going to take his own life before they executed him. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, we're all here." There's the grace of the gospel, amen? Don't hurt yourself, we're all here, and we've got some grace to share with you. The jailer called for lights. He rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas, and they brought him out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved in your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house, and he took them to the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Prayer is in the center of every memory and in the center of all the joy, amen? In the midst of salvation and in the midst of spiritual warfare. God causes all things to work together for good. If Paul and Silas had not been beaten half to death and falsely imprisoned, the gospel would have never gone out to the Philippian jailer, to his family. Amen? He causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But the joy of prayer is all the way through Philippians, binding Paul and the Philippian believers through prayer. Look over at chapter 1, verse 8. This is how prayer relates to love. Philippians, I'll go back to Philippians from Acts 16. Look at Philippians 1, verse 8. Paul writes, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be so pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God." You notice how he attaches the joy of prayer to their love, right? He prays that their love might abound, their love might grow. Prayer is tied into every memory that he has with them. Look at verse 19, how prayer is joyful and it relates to discipleship. See verse 19? "Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. And it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." So in the midst of the prayer and the joy, Paul is strengthened and he says, "For me to live is Christ." What memories that connect them and bind them, amen? The joy. Now at Calvary, we have such memories of prayer with you here. Such memories. Prayer in the worship services. I never grew tired of it. We're all here gathered and praying together. The prayer in the prayer meetings here in the sanctuary and also in room 501 and a couple of other rooms as well upstairs. The joy in the prayer meetings was amazing, the power of it. I remember so well Bob Chancia, my brother, the opera man. I remember him leading prayer so often, sharing the word. My brother David Morales, there leading, teaching, praying, you know. Robert Beatty, faithful there, praying, leading. These guys and others, the pastors, and teaching, getting in the Word of God. It was an amazing time, amen. I'll be in Florida thinking of that. You know, 7 o'clock Wednesday night will come around, and I'll, wherever I am, it'll hit me. I'll stop and pray and think of you all, pray for you. It's really wonderful. You know, the prayer meeting was the only time I was ever allowed to teach with my baseball hat on, my Yankee hat. So every time I taught upstairs in 501, I would teach with my Yankee hat. Amen. Now, Billy Nelson, our dear brother, who's a big Mets fan, I called him out in the first service, and I said, it's okay. We love the Mets, too. We pray for the Mets. And but the prayer, the memories are just amazing, right? Prayer in our small groups. Sandy and I were in Todd and Sharon's small group for a couple years. The prayer there is just amazing, right? Prayer in the board meetings, sometimes midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Nothing like that. Prayer in the staff meetings, Alphonse and all of us, special. Prayer for the persecuted church, prayer for missions, and of course our personal prayers together and for each other. Look at Philippians 4. So much joy in that. He says in verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Here's the joy again, right? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it brings together, does it not? It brings together all the joy, all the thanksgiving, all the prayer that bind us together. And I love that. I love that very much. I never forget it. Never forget it. We're bound together by our shared memories and by our shared prayers, amen? And the thanksgiving, the joy that comes with that binds us from 1,000 miles away, or in Pakistan, from thousands of miles away. The most profound connection of all is our memories and our prayers for each other. And he says in Philippians 1 also that he was bound together with them, and we're bound to each other, connected through our shared ministry. Our shared ministry. Do you see that in verse 5? He says, I make my prayer with joy because of your what? Your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, what connects us is our shared ministry. From the very first day until now, we shared Christ together. We served Christ together. And this binds us, right? This is a personal connection that will never, ever leave us. That's awesome. Partnership in the gospel. And he talks about that some more. Look at chapter 1, verse 7. He said, it's right for me to feel this way because I hold you in my heart, for you are all what? Partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. It impacted his heart with such love for them because they were partakers with him in the proclamation and the defense of the gospel. He's remembering that in a Roman prison, and they were remembering it with him. Look at chapter 1, verse 14. He says, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord because of my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He's saying, I'm in prison. I'm an apostle, but they are now continuing this work of the gospel. My brothers are out there. My sisters are out there in the work of the gospel. And this just, boom, just like that. Paul's praying for their witness there. They're praying for his witness in prison. If that doesn't connect you forever, I don't know what will. And then he says also in chapter 4, verse 13, about shared ministry. He wants us to know that not everyone is overseas in missions. Not everyone is preaching. Not everyone is teaching, right? But everyone is sharing their faith. Everyone is a witness for Christ. And everyone can serve as co-equal partners in the work through their prayers and through their giving. Because that supports those, like our 64 missionaries, amen, that go forth with the gospel. As we give to support that, we are sharing the ministry with them. You see, chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul says. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. They were the only church to partner with him in the gospel through helping support him financially in his work. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Shared ministry is how we connect. It will always be a connection for us. In the memories and in the prayers is the ministry together. Praise God. Over the years at Calvary, we have shared the ministry, amen? Missions ministries in New York City and all over the world. Our ministries to our Muslim neighbors and our Jewish neighbors. This binds us. Our Hope ministry to the gay community for many, many years. A beautiful ministry of love. Our prison ministry, our homeless ministry, Don't Walk By and New York City Relief. The UN ministry, the nursing home, the arts ministries, music ministries, radio ministries, New York School of the Bible, men's ministry, women's ministry, children, young adults, college, seniors. And then our personal witness. We're connected. Thank God. And that connection brings thanksgiving, brings joy with the memories and the prayers. Amen? Glory to God. Now, you all know how much I love to share the gospel when I was here, right? I had some stories, sad and joyful. But every once in a while, I would have a witness in my golf game, you know, here. I didn't play as much, obviously, here, but I play more in Florida. But I would have opportunities playing golf to share the gospel, because you spend 4 hours with guys you've never met. You just get hooked up when you're at the golf course, right? But down in Florida, I'm playing more, and, of course, I'm sharing the gospel with everybody, of course. And so I'm about 2 months ago, I'm at the golf course, and they introduced me to the three guys that I'm going to be joining, right? And one of them is, he says, I'm Mike. And I said, well, I'm Dave. He says, I'm Mike, but you can call me Big Mike. And he was big. He looked like the Giants could draft him to be the nose guard this year, you know. big, strong mountain of a man. So when he said, just call me Big Mike, I said, yes, sir, Big Mike. And so we're playing golf, having a great time. I'm playing more down there, but my game has not improved. And of course, we're talking as we play about our families and about, you know, our work and all those things you do, you know. And of course, they now know that I'm a pastor, and I had the privilege of being in New York for 21 years and all those things, wonderful things. And so we're playing, and we finish the game 4 hours later, and Big Mike and I are walking off toward our cars together. And he looks at me, and he says, Pastor, he says, would you pray for my son? Would you pray for my son? And I said, Big Mike, of course I will pray for your son. He said, you know, Pastor, I have not always been there for him. I've been away a lot. I've not really been there for him. And he is, he's a teenager now, and he is extremely troubled. His life is really troubled, and I'm afraid he's going in all the wrong directions. And I feel bad. I wasn't really there for him. And so we prayed together I prayed for him and for his son, of course. And then I said, Mike, you need to know God yourself. It's never going to be enough for me to pray for you or for your son. You need God yourself. And you need to know God so you can have a new life and you can be an example to your son. You're not just talking to him, but you are leading him by your example. You're loving him by being his example. And then you're praying for him. I said, you need God's forgiveness for not always being there for your son, but also for your sins, like I need forgiveness for my sins in Jesus Christ. So I said, Mike, do you have a Bible? He said, yeah, I have a Bible. I've just hardly ever even looked at it. I said, do you want to be a new man? He said, yes. I said, I want you to go, and I want you to read in your Bible John chapter 3, and I want you to read it slowly, and I want you to read it in a thoughtful way, and I want you to ask God to speak to you, and I want you to know Jesus Christ. And then I want you to call me so I can talk and pray with you anytime you want. And he said, Pastor, I will do that. And he went home. And I got home, and I'm telling Sandy, of course, about these encounters. And she's heard a few of these over the years, believe me. And I said, I told him to call me, and he will. There's no doubt about it. And she said, well, honey, how do you know for sure that he will call you? I said, sweetheart, because I heard his heart. And he loves his son. And he needs help. And he sure did. He connected with me. He said, Pastor, I am seeking God, and I am becoming that new man, and I am trying to love on my son and be an example to my son, and I'm praying for him. I'm in the scripture. It was thrilling. We are connected through our sharing the gospel, our gospel ministry. And you know, it's interesting, when I have those moments, I think about you guys all the time, actually. Sandy and I do. Every day. And as we're doing our ministry there, you're doing the work of God here. I think of that all the time, what you guys are up to, how you're sharing the gospel, and that we are connected like that, right? These are the most profound connections of all. The memories and the prayers and the the shared ministry, the serving God together, you know. And so we thank God for that. And notice finally, and I'll close with this. They stayed connected through their shared hope as well. Their shared hope. You see, back to Philippians chapter 1, you see verse 6. Paul says from prison to them, "And I am sure of this, that he, the Lord, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ," he says. I know it. I'm certain of it. God who began that good work in you, he will complete that work at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll finish that work in Sandy and I. We're in Florida now. He'll finish that work in you all. He'll finish that work in us. We share that. We share that hope. Amen. That good work, which is what? Which is finishing his masterpiece in us and making us more and more like Jesus. That's his work. Stay at Philippians. Actually, yeah, stay at Philippians. We're going to come right back for just a minute. Go back to Ephesians, the book right before Philippians. And I want you to look at this great work that God is doing in you and I, in us, that he promises to finish it. And we share that together. You see verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this grace and this salvation is not of your own doing. It's God's gift to you. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." We can't boast in anything but God's grace. "For we are his workmanship." That word talks about a work of art. We are his work of art, basically. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see that? We are his work of art. Now, what he means by that is we are the greatest miracle that God has ever done. Making you and I like Christ, I say this reverently, takes more out of God than the creation of the universe or the incarnation or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a greater work, a greater miracle than all the other miracles. It is. Actually, when he says we're a work of art, that word conveys more than that. We are a masterpiece. We are. God gets all the glory. But what he does in us is his masterpiece. Actually, we are his magnum opus. We are. That we might glorify him. And we share this together. When I'm in Florida, I can think, God is working on that masterpiece up there, up north, you know, and down south as well. Awesome, amen? If that doesn't connect us, I don't know what will. That's why God says he causes everything to work together for good. Good, bad, and ugly. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And what happens right after that? "For whom God foreknew in eternity past, he predestined in eternity past to be," what? "Conformed to the image of his son," to become like Christ. "And those who he foreknew and predestined in eternity past, in time and space and history, he called to Christ, he justified in Christ, and he glorified in Christ." And even though that glorification is still, from our point of view, it's still future. God says it in Romans 8, as it's the past, it's already done. It's in the past tense. We're glorified. Because in God's mind, it's already done. It's guaranteed. That's why he can write, I know that the God who started this good work in you, he'll complete it. Because he already said you're going to be glorified, right? You're going to become like Christ. Powerful. We share that. Look at Philippians 3. That's why Paul can write this. Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. In the end, he's going to make us just like Jesus Christ. He has that power. That's his purpose. Amen? And we share that together. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. What a wonderful encouragement, amen? So we have the privilege of staying connected to each other, right? Staying in touch in the most profound ways you can, right? In our memories together, in our prayers together, in the ministry we share together, and in the hope that we share, which is certain. We're all going to be together like Jesus and experience that glory. You see chapter 4, Philippians, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a great God we serve. What profound connections they are. Amen. And we thank the Lord and experience the joy of the Lord because of that. Sandy and I with you, you with us, you with each other. That's how the Lord is glorified. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's joyful and thankful and having memories and saying prayers and ministering with the gospel and hoping together said, no wonder I'm thirsty up here. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the love that we share here today, the memories, the prayers, the ministry, the hope. And I pray we will just continue to live by the Holy Spirit in this connection. Use us mightily for your glory, Lord. And we'll give you all the thanks. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.